There's something unusual going on with the sockeye salmon runs returning to Alaska this year. In some places, like Bristol Bay, the runs are strong, and in others, like the Copper River or the Kenai River, they're unexpectedly weak. In some places, the sockeye are unusually small. Others, sockeye of a certain age who appear to be missing entirely. It's a mystery. From Alaska's Energy Desk in Juneau, Rasha McChesney goes looking for clues.
There are odd things happening with sockeye salmon all over the state. In southeast Alaska, one of the first fish and game staffers to notice an unusual trend was Iris Frank. In fact, she's been talking about it for a few years now.
Is this your lab?
Well, this is where we age scale. We kind of call it a lab. But
Frank works in this lab in Juneau that looks, well, like it hasn't changed much in the 32 years since she got there.
So we get these scales in.
I have to say, this machine looks like something that belongs in the library in the 1970s.
Well, you know, this is my baby.
I'm sorry, I just insulted your baby.
No, you didn't. But here, why don't you go ahead and pull up a chair?
We're using this 30-year-old microfish machine to look at a blown-up image of a sockeye salmon scale. There are these ridges. They look a lot like fingerprints. Well, fish prints. Anyway, they carry a lot of information about what that salmon has been doing since it hatched, and Frank is an expert at reading them. And in the last few years, she's noticed that on some fish, those ridges are getting closer and closer together. That could mean the fish aren't growing as fast or as big as they normally do.
You know, the hairs on the back of your neck kind of standing up going, well, that's really odd.
Have you ever seen anything like it before?
No. No.
In 30 years?
No. This is really a real odd happening.
She doesn't know why it's happening or what it means, but it's a clue. And it's part of a pretty big mystery. Elsewhere in the state, fish and game scientists are scratching their heads over smaller sockeye, sockeye that are trickling into rivers and lakes where they normally come back strong, or whole age groups of sockeye that appear to be missing. And several say they're wondering what's happening to the sockeye once they leave Alaska's freshwater and head out into the ocean. So I headed to the Alaska Fisheries Science Center in Auk Bay to talk to a scientist who specializes in researching salmon at sea. His name is Ed Farley. I met up with Farley in his office and talked him into playing a game of Clue to see if he could solve the mystery of who or what is affecting the sockeye salmon. If you're like Farley and I, you've probably not played Clue in a while, so a quick refresher.
Mr. Green, is it Mr. Green?
The object of the game is to solve a murder, to figure out who did it, with which weapons, and in which room in this giant mansion.
Okay, so Miss Scarlet is our character. I'm going to put this little red thing over here.
Miss Scarlet is the sockeye. In this game, she's the one who dies. Next, what killed her, or stunted her growth? Farley says there are a lot of potential weapons. One big one is the blob. That's the warmer-than-normal water that moved into the North Pacific about 4 years ago. It stayed unusually hot through 2016 in the Gulf of Alaska shelf, some 4 to 6 degrees higher than normal. Farley says that shelf is where young sockeye salmon from Alaska go to eat once they venture out from their home rivers. So we'll start with the candlestick as a weapon, and I'm going to say that it represents warm water in the Gulf of Alaska.
What would be the problem with that for a sockeye?
So that's going to increase their metabolic rate, so they're going to have to find more food.
So it's warmer, and it's making those sockeye salmon hungrier. But something else happens during this time period, too. Another murder weapon. Farley says a team of researchers did surveys on the food web during those hot years and found that some of the key food for young sockeye salmon was missing.
So, like the copepod group was way down.
That's a high-fat bug that sockeye eat. They're basically eggs with legs.
With the loss of that prey base and the increased temperatures, it's sort of a double whammy.
We need one more murder weapon for pink salmon. There's evidence that they compete with sockeye for food in the North Pacific. And Farley is being really particular about which one we choose.
Is it the gun or the pipe wrench or the rope?
I wouldn't say it's the gun.
Is that like a scientist's worst nightmare?
One of the things that you have to always understand is that the pink salmon aren't really the smoking gun.
The room. Where did all of this happen?
If you had to pick a room that the Gulf of Alaska would be, which one would you pick?
No, the dining room.
Why?
Because that's where they need to feed.
So far, this is going way better than a normal game of Clue. We have a victim, three weapons, and a room. In fact, we're doing so well that Farley is ready to guess what happened to Miss Scarlet.
I would say it's the candlestick and the knife.
In the dining room?
Yep.
Wait, so you think you've already solved this?
In my opinion, that's that's where this mortality would have occurred.
Farley thinks that Miss Scarlet died in the dining room and it took a lot of weapons to kill her. He suspects that some of the sockeye salmon returning to Alaska this year went out into the ocean at a time when they needed more food to survive, and it just wasn't there. And remember how some runs in the state were actually really good this year? Well, those same warm ocean conditions might be the culprits there as well. Warm water may have decimated the food web in the Gulf of Alaska, but there's evidence that it made the Bering Sea more fertile. And Farley says that's where Bristol Bay sockeye rear, so they were much better off than their Gulf of Alaska relatives. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Rasha McChesney in Juneau.